Welcome to Treasures Old and New from ART. Hi, I'm Joy Jackson. You know, December usually turns our heads to Christmas shows of the past. Even Mysterious Traveler has a Christmas show. Here's Turnabout Christmas.
American Radio Theater is proud to present a recreation of The Mysterious Traveler.
This is The Mysterious Traveler, inviting you to join me in a little Christmas fun. Day after tomorrow is Christmas Day, and this is the holiday season when hearts are light and stories should be gay to match the mood of the occasion. So tonight we'll have no screams, no groans, no moans, no pistol shots. Nothing bad is going to happen to anyone. Well, practically nothing. So settle back and listen now to the story of Mr. Trimble's Turnabout Christmas. It is Christmas morning in Brooklyn Heights, Brooklyn, USA. Our hero, Mr. Timothy Trimble, is still in bed, though the clock is striking 10. Mr. Trimble, after a hectic Christmas Eve spent in singing carols, does not feel like getting up, in spite of the urging of his good wife, Louise.
Timothy, it's 10 o'clock. You've got to get up. Timothy, it's 10 o'clock. You've got to get up.
Oh, what do you say, Louise?
It's 10 o'clock. You've got to get up. This is Christmas, and we got 1,000 things to do.
No, I'm not going to get up. I'm going to stay right here until tomorrow.
Timothy, this is Christmas. You might seem cheerful this morning, just for a change.
I don't feel cheerful. I hate Christmas.
Timothy, what a way to talk.
I mean it. No, nowadays, Christmas begins on the 1st of December and isn't over until the last present's exchanged on December 31st. Why don't they just change the name of the month to Christmas and get done with it?
Now, that reminds me, you got to find a present for Aunt Agatha and one for Uncle Elmer and something for the children. And they're driving up from Philadelphia to have Christmas dinner with us. They just phoned.
No. Not Uncle Elmer and Aunt Agatha and the children.
So you've just got to get up. Please hurry, Timothy.
All right, Louise. I'll get up. I'll get right up. Just a minute.
Oh, no, you don't, Trimble. We got too much to do, me and you. No beauty nap for you this morning.
Who said that? Where are you?
Here I am, on top of your bureau.
On top of my bureau? A live Santa Claus a foot high sitting on top of my bureau? Louise! Louise!
Oh, that was a dumb trick, Trimble. She won't see me. You'll just be in Dutch.
Yeah, what is it?
Louise, just take a look at my bureau.
Well, I'm looking. What am I supposed to see?
Do you see a Santa Claus a foot high?
18 inches.
18 inches high. Sitting on top of my bureau and swinging his feet over the edge.
Of course I don't see any such thing. The only Santas in this house are the little glass ones hanging from the tree.
Well, this isn't a toy. This Santa Claus is alive.
Alive Santa Claus, 18 inches tall? Timothy, what nonsense are you up to?
Oh, Louise, I'm going to stay in bed today. My stomach is all upset. I'm seeing things that ain't there.
You're not going to get out of helping me by pretending to be sick. Come on now, Timothy, get out of that bed.
Ow, all right, I'm getting up.
And see you stay up. I'll give you 5 minutes to get dressed.
I told you it was a dumb trick. Oh, no, you ain't lying down again. You gotta get up, you gotta get up, you gotta get up. It's Christmas!
Please, you'll disturb the whole neighborhood.
Trimble, ain't you caught on yet? Nobody can't see me or hear me but you. I'm your Christmas spirit. Your own personal Christmas spirit.
If only I hadn't drunk all that eggnog last night.
Never mind the eggnog. You'd be seeing me if you'd drunk nothing but aqua of the most pura.
No, I wouldn't. You're just a figment of my imagination.
Them's harsh words. When I come here to make this the happiest Christmas of your life.
An invisible Santa Claus 1 foot tall.
18 inches.
Well, 18 inches tall. It's not possible.
So I ain't possible. I see I got to reason with you. Everything else is possible in Brooklyn. So why can't Brooklyn have an invisible Santa Claus? What do you got against Brooklyn?
I ain't got anything against Brooklyn. I love Brooklyn.
So, it's all settled. I'm real, and you can call me Benny.
Benny? Why Benny?
Because that's my name, dope. Benny, short for benevolent. I'm your Christmas spirit.
Christmas spirit?
Yeah, and I dress like Santa Claus because all Christmas spirits do. Now, have we got that settled or ain't we?
All Christmas spirits? You mean they're more like you?
There's thousands of us. We're the answer to how Santa Claus gets everything done in just one day. I'm the Brooklyn delegate.
I see. No, I don't see. What are you doing here on my bureau?
Today, I don't belong to Brooklyn. I belong to you. Timothy T. Trimble, you've been voted the winner of the Christmas Spirit's Goodness Award for 1947. And for once, you're going to have the Christmas every man dreams about.
What are you talking about? What's this Christmas Spirit's Goodness or whatever?
It's like this. For years, us Christmas spirits has been watching guys like you give and give till it hurts, but never get. This year, we decided to elect one citizen in the whole world to get for a change. You following me, Trimble?
A cup of black coffee. If I only had a cup of black coffee.
Stop mumbling and listen to me. I'm saying that you, Timothy T. Trimble, was selected winner of the Christmas Spirit's Goodness Award for being the world's best citizen in the year 1947.
Oh, me? But I'm not...
See? Modest, too. That's one reason you was elected. You won by 37 votes over a guy named Horace Q. Quigley of Pasadena, California, who collects cigar bands. So now, to collect the Christmas you got coming to you, leave us, be on our way.
No, I won't.
Timothy, are you dressed yet? Oh, you are. Good.
Louise, I'm going back to bed. I feel terrible.
Go to bed, nothing. First, you have to give the building employees their Christmas money. Have you got it ready?
Yeah, I have it ready. Tom and Joe and Bill and the superintendent.
That's right. Then you better hurry and have breakfast in a restaurant. I simply haven't time to fix you anything.
But, Louise...
After that, you got to go buy presents for Uncle Elmer and Aunt Agatha and the children. Don't forget, Timothy.
But this is Christmas. There ain't any stores open. Where can I buy presents?
Well, that's your problem, Timothy. I have quite enough other things to worry about. But remember, nice presents now. Nothing from the drugstore. You know how Aunt Agatha and Uncle Elmer hate cheap things.
And you know how I hate Uncle Elmer and Aunt Agatha.
Now, Timothy, they're your relatives, not mine. Oh, I almost forgot we haven't a turkey.
What of it? Do we have to have turkey? I'm sick of turkey.
For just you and me, I was going to have chops, but Uncle Elmer and Aunt Agatha and the children will expect turkey. Uncle Elmer said so on the phone.
But there ain't any butcher shops open today. Louise, you gotta listen to me. I don't feel well.
Oh, for goodness sakes, why are you just standing there? Get your hat and coat and go.
Well, Trimble, you gonna argue anymore, or you gonna come along with me?
Benny, stop pulling my coat. I don't like it.
What, Timothy? What did you say?
Nothing, dear. I'm going. Christmas. Why was it ever invented? $5 for Joe, the elevator boy, and $5 for Tom on the night shift, and $10 for the superintendent.
Are you in for a surprise, Trimble?
Please, go away. Please, before somebody sees
you. Don't worry, nobody else won't. Now, here's the elevator. Just act natural.
Oh, hello, Mr. Trimble.
Quick, Joe, shut the door fast. Now, take me straight down and don't stop.
Anything you say, Mr. Trimble.
We were too quick for him. Thank heavens. Oh, by the way, Joe, Merry Christmas.
Oh, Merry Christmas to you too, Mr. Trimble. Oh, no, you don't, no. Put that envelope back in your pocket. Thanks, just the same.
But Joe, it's a little Christmas remembrance, just in spirit of the season.
No, sir, not this year. Instead, you take this.
A $5 bill?
Yes, sir. This year, I'm giving you the present.
Did I hear your You're giving me the present?
Absolutely, just for being such a swell tenant. The one guy who don't ever complain if I'm late with a car, who tips me every time I have to let him in his apartment, who always says hello. You probably don't know it, Mr. Trimble, but you're the best passenger any elevator operator ever had.
I don't know what to say.
Ah, that's because you're so modest.
I think I need a little air.
Oh, sure thing. Here you are, main floor. Have a swell Christmas.
Thanks. That great big fellow over there in the lobby.
Oh, what about him?
I think I recognize him. He's seen me.
Hey, Trimble! I want to talk to you!
Quick, Joe! Down to the basement!
Yes, sir.
Hey! Trimble! Trimble, come back here!
Oh, that was close. Positive that was a fellow who was so nasty to me down at the Income Tax Bureau last March. He probably found out about that deduction I chiseled on and wanted to question me.
And on Christmas Day, too. Them guys got no pity. Well, here you are. Slide down the alley and he'll never catch you.
Thanks, Joe.
And a Merry Christmas again, Mr. Trimble.
First an invisible Santa Claus, then the income tax people. What a day this is going to be. I better get started and then...
Hey, Trimble, not so fast! Thought you was gonna ditch me, eh? Fine business.
How did you follow me?
Down the air shaft. I'm not letting you out of my sight until midnight. First we're gonna put a good breakfast in you, and then... Christmas, here comes Trimble! Well, Trimble... Feeling better now with three cups of Java in you?
Oh, I ought to be, but I still see you, so I guess I don't.
I'm disappointed in you, Trimble. You ain't got a true Brooklyn spirit.
Excuse me, Mr. Trimble. Were you speaking to me?
No, I guess I was. Just thinking out loud.
Oh, I understand. More coffee? Oh, some ham and eggs? Oh, maybe some waffles with some real maple syrup?
No, I guess not. Just let me have the check.
Oh, there's no check today, Mr. Trimble.
No check?
Manager's orders. He says you're the kind of customer who gives tone to the place.
Oh, well, thanks. Here's something for you,
no,
then.
Oh, no, Mr. Trimble. Here's something for you.
She's giving you a quarter. Take it, stupid.
But what's this for?
Today I'm tipping you for being such a nice customer. You don't mind, do you?
Well, I...
Where's your manners? Tell her you don't mind.
Of course I don't mind, but...
I knew you wouldn't. I keep telling the girls what a real gentleman you are. Oh, if there were only more men in the world like you, Mr. Trimble.
But there must be a lot of men in the world like me.
Oh, but there aren't. Believe me. I know.
Hey, Trimble!
Quick, the back way. Where is it?
Right through there.
Trimble, come back here. I got some business with you.
Hurry, Mr. Trimble, hurry. And Merry Christmas, Mr. Trimble.
That was nice footwork back there, Trimble. So why so gloomy? Why so morbid?
Please, Benny, just go away. That's all I ask. Just go away.
At midnight, Trimble, and not a second sooner. You're gonna enjoy this Christmas if it kills you. Now step on it. This old jalopy of yours has got to cover territory today.
Whoa, hey, Benny, get off my foot. You're pushing down the throttle and there's a red light ahead. Oh, we went through a red light and there's a cop right there. Oh, here he comes. Oh, what a day. First Jude and the Income Tax Bureau. Oh, probably wind up in jail.
Take it easy, Trimble. Take it easy. You'll see.
Well, in a big hurry, are you? Such a hurry, you go right through our pretty red light.
I'm sorry, officer. I guess I just got absent-minded. You see, my wife sent me out on some errands, and I was going too fast.
Sure, I understand. I got a wife like that, too. You're in a hurry. Let me help you. Wait, I'll get that truck out of your way.
Hey, you! Get that heap of junk out of the way or I'll run you in. Yeah, that's it. Move it.
There you are. Just go as fast as you like. as a special card. If anybody stops you, just show it to them and they won't bother you.
Thank you, officer. Thank you very much.
Now, why did I do that? What got into me anyway? I must be slipping. I didn't give him a ticket.
Well, Trimble, feeling better now? Beginning to believe it's really Christmas?
I don't know. Nothing like that ever happened to me before. He was polite to me. A traffic cop.
You ain't seen nothing yet. Now, what's next? Oh, yeah! The turkey you gotta get. Now, just pull up at the first butcher shop we come to. It don't matter which, it'll be open.
Am I having a turkey for you, Mr. Trimble? 1 second and I'm showing you if I'm having a turkey for you. Here you are. Is that a turkey or is that a turkey?
It's a turkey, all right.
To me, it looks more like an ostrich, except it's a little on the large side.
Compared to that turkey, what Mr. President Truman himself is eating today is nothing but a hummingbird. A skinny little hummingbird.
Yeah, I see what you mean. How much is it?
How much is it? Timothy T. Trimble asked me that on today, Christmas. To you, Mr. Trimble, the price is no dollars and no cents exact. And I'm throwing in 10 pounds steak.
Well, Trimble, feeling better?
Yeah, I guess I am. Benny, is this really happening? Pinch me so I can be sure. Ow! Oh, not so hard.
Well, is it really happening?
It's happening, all right, but you sure I won't wake up and find out it's just a dream as soon as Christmas is over?
This is no dream, Trimble. Someplace it might be a dream, but not in Brooklyn. Here, it's real. Now where? Oh, what else you got in mind?
Well, there's the presents for Uncle Elmer and Aunt Agatha, and then truth is, I completely forgot to get anything for Louise.
Ah, don't give it a thought, Trimble. What does the little lady like? Perfumes, jewels, furs, books, bear traps.
She's not much of a reader, but bear traps.
But she's a woman. Say no more. Trimble, your problem is in the hands of an authority on women.
A bear trap?
And bear traps.
But none of the stores are open today.
Trimble, am I on the job or ain't I? If Timothy T. Trimble wants a store open today, it's open.
How about the bear trap? It kind of hurts.
You like the bracelet best, Mr. Trimble? This one with the 7 baguette diamonds? Or if you think Mrs. Trimble would prefer a necklace, these pearls now.
Oh, no, she don't care for pearls.
Dear me, then of course the pearls are definitely out. The bracelet it is. There you are, all wrapped. Oh, no, Mr. Trimble, put your checkbook away. The price of the bracelet, true, is $1,000. But the cost of it is precisely nothing. To have the wife of Timothy T. Trimble wear jewelry from our shop, we ask for nothing more.
The mink wrap is lovely, Mr. Trimble, but I know Mrs. Trimble would prefer the chinchilla. I'm sure of it.
But don't chinchillas cost...
Oh, you must not worry about the cost, Mr. Trimble. Naturally, we're making this a gift to you for being the kind of man you are. And think how proud the chinchillas will be.
So now, Mr. Trimble, I'm sure Mrs. Trimble can use more than just one bottle of perfume. So let's wrap up a dozen bottles, shall we? All different? Then she'll always have just the right scent to match her mood. With our compliments, of course.
Benny, I can hardly walk. All these packages and fur coats and jewelry, perfume, cigars, smoking jacket. I can't carry them. Benny, all these people. What do they want?
It's okay, Trimble. They're just waiting to get a look at you, that's all.
Mr. Trimble, can I give you a hand with that?
Mr. Trimble, if you want to grab Mr. Trimble.
But Mr. Trimble,
Benny, Benny, they're shoving me and crowding, so I can't move. I can't breathe.
Hey, Trimble, hold still a second.
Mr. Trimble.
That's it, thank you.
What was that?
The photographer for the Associated Press. Tomorrow you'll see your picture in the paper. Some fun, huh?
No, these people, they're crushing me.
Hey, what's going on here? Come on now, break it up, break it up. Break it up, I say. On your way. Now, what's all this about? Oh, so it's you, is it? What are you peddling, brother?
Really, officer, I assure you that I just...
Make it good or I'll haul you in for creating a disturbance.
I'll handle this. Officer, this is Timothy T. Trimble from Brooklyn.
Say,
You know Trimble.
Say, wait a sec. An inner voice is speaking to me. Ain't you...
Trimble. Timothy T. Trimble.
Of course. I knew it all along. Say, are these people bothering you? I'll run them all in.
No, thanks. It's just late, and I'm trying to get back home. And...
Okay, then let me help you into your car, right here at the curb.
But that's not my car. It's a brand new Superior 8. My car's the 1928 model down there.
Trimble, you disappoint me. When a man wins the Christmas Spirits Goodness Award, he really wins something. This boat is all yours, delivered while you was inside the store.
Sure, this is your car. Here's a card on the steering wheel. Merry Christmas to the best man on earth, from the best car on earth.
Trimble! Oh, Trimble.
You found me again.
Trimble, I want to talk to you.
Somebody you don't like, Mr. Trimble. I'll handle him for you. All right, buddy, on your way. On your way before I jug
you. One side, you. I'm an honest citizen, and you can't order me around.
Oh, well, okay. Gee, he's a tough one, isn't he?
Now, Trimble, what's the idea of you running away from me?
I didn't see you.
Never mind about that now. Don't you know who I am?
You're from the Income Tax Bureau, aren't you?
The Income Tax Bureau? Trimble, I am Professor Question. Mark Question.
Professor Question? The one who gives away all those things on the radio?
Exactly. And I've been trying to catch you all day to check on your entry in our super-duper soap contest. Just finish this sentence in 25 words or less. I like the new post-war super-duper soap best because... Well, Trimble, finish the sentence. Surely you remember your own entry, don't you?
Well, yeah, I do. I like the new post-war super-duper soap best because it has such a lovely smell... I can always find it right away, even when I have soap suds in my eyes and can't open them. 25 words exactly.
Trimble, congratulations! You have identified the winning entry and thereby become our super-duper jackpot winner for 1947.
I have?
You have! And as our super-duper jackpot winner, you win a duplicate of every prize we've given away this year. This $4,000 automobile at the curb, a $25,000 home on Long Island, a ranch in New Mexico, a 38-foot cabin cruiser, a four-place jet-propelled airplane, a $2,000 mink coat, a five-foot bookshelf of the world's great literature, a pair of gold-framed spectacles with which to read your five-foot bookshelf of the world's great literature, two round-trip tickets around the world, a 2 weeks vacation in Havana, all expenses paid, a complete set of dentist's equipment, an x-ray machine, a silver-plated cement mixer, an elevator, your own private Pullman car, a 12-carat diamond ring, and a gold-plated harmonica. Congratulations, Mr. Trimble, and Merry Christmas.
Well, Trimble, it's almost midnight. How have you enjoyed Christmas?
Huh? What'd you say?
I said, how'd you like Christmas?
It's the kind of Christmas I always dreamed of, but I never expected to have.
That's what us Christmas spirits had in mind. We wanted to see one good guy get for a change. Ugh. Instead of always giving. And did you get? Brother, it ain't everybody who wins the super-duper jackpot, not to mention all the other stuff you collected.
Oh, Benny,
I'm not really dreaming all this, am I? It's not going to vanish when I wake up.
How many times do I have to tell you? It's as real as Christmas, Trimble. Listen. That's the gold-plated harmonica you won. That's real, ain't it?
It certainly is. Please don't play it again, Benny.
Okay, I'm just trying to convince you.
I'm convinced. I wonder what I'm going to do with the dentist's equipment and the cement mixer and the elevator. Well, I'll think about that tomorrow. I'm sleepy.
You ought to be, the way you dipped into that brandy. But it's okay. Christmas only comes once a year, even in Brooklyn.
I almost think the best present of all was the fact that Aunt Agatha and Uncle Elmer and the children never got here because their car broke down. I'll never be able to face the other kind of Christmases again. Tips and presents, bills, and relatives. It'll be too much for me.
Never mind. You had your day. They can't take that away from you. You see, Trimble, being good does pay sometimes.
I still don't see why I was given the award. Well, I won't argue about it.
Timothy, who are you talking to?
Nobody, my dear. I guess I was just thinking out loud.
Oh, I understand, darling. Oh, Timothy, this has been the most wonderful day of my life.
Glad you enjoyed it, my dear.
I don't think I ever realized before what a really good man you are. I know there isn't a finer man in all the world.
Well, I'm glad you think so, sweetheart. Yeah, you don't mind if I go to sleep, do you? I'm pretty tired.
Oh, of course not. Oh, Timothy, it makes me so proud to be able to say to myself, my husband, Timothy Thomas Trimble, the finest man in the world.
Thank you, dear.
Sleep tight, darling. I'll be in a minute.
Hey, Trimble.
Huh?
She called you Timothy Thomas Trimble.
Yeah, that's right.
You mean you ain't Timothy Trimble?
Nah, Timothy Thomas.
The holy cow! Trimble, old pal, I hate to tell you this, but I've made a kind of a mistake.
How's that?
I've been given the Christmas Goodness Award for 1947 to the wrong guy.
What'd you say?
Chum, I've made a mistake. You've had a Christmas that don't belong to you.
Can't hear you, Benny.
Trimble, we gotta start this whole day over again before that clock strikes midnight.
What about the clock?
I hate to do this, but we gotta go back to 10 o'clock this morning and start all over again. This Christmas has got to be done over, and right this time. So get set. Here we go. Sorry, Trimble, but I had to do it.
Huh? What'd you say?
Timothy, I said it's 10 o'clock Christmas morning. You gotta get up. This is Christmas, and there's 1,000 things to do.
10 o'clock Christmas morning. No, it can't be.
It certainly is, and you gotta get up. You've gotta help me.
10 o'clock. Oh, no. Benny, where are you? Come back. Please come back.
Sorry, Trimble, but I gotta be going. I gotta do this whole thing over again. But Merry Christmas, Trimble. Merry Christmas!
Now, Timothy, first you have to give the building employees the Christmas money. And then you have to buy presents for Uncle Elmer and Aunt Agatha and the children. And then you'll have to find a turkey, and after that...
And so comes to an end our special Christmas story, Mr. Trimble's Turnabout Christmas. Next week at this same time, I'll be back again with another story of the strange and terrifying, which may chill you a little and thrill you a little and entertain you for half an hour. I call it Escape to 1980, and it's about a man who fell asleep and woke up to find he'd slept for more than 30 years. Oh, but I mustn't spoil the story for you. Join me next week to hear the rest of it. And until then, Merry Christmas.
You have just heard an American Radio Theater recreation of a special Christmas program of The Mysterious Traveler. It was produced by Joy Jackson and directed by Marge Lutton. In tonight's story, Mr. Trimble's Turnabout Christmas, Kim Turner was The Mysterious Traveler. Reynaud LaBeouf played Timothy Trimble. Cole Hornaday was Benny. Melinda Maines was Mrs. Trimble. Greg Porter was Professor Question. Also in the cast, Richard and Diana Haviland, Marge Lutton, Pat McNally, and Liz Roach. Sound effects by the cast of ART. Music by Kevin MacLeod, www.incompetech.com. This script was originally broadcast on December 23, 1947, as Chapter 133. This program has come to you from Seattle as part of the ART Christmas Party 2008. I'm Joy Jackson, and this is ART, the American Radio Theater. Good night. Let's listen to some music from the days of old-time radio.
Someone waits for me.
This is Ken Carpenter welcoming you to the Bing Crosby Show, presented by Chesterfield, produced and transcribed in Hollywood, with John Scott Trotter and his orchestra, Judd Collins with the Mayors, and Bing's guests, Dixie Lee Crosby and Gary, Dennis, Philip, and Lindsay Crosby. As is Bing's custom at Christmas time, he opens the program with a Dusty Fidelis, and as usual, he will sing it first in Latin, and then in English, with a studio audience joining him.
Yes, Ken, I think it would be very fitting, very nice, if our guests here would join in a chorus, a second chorus, in Come All Ye Faithful, huh?
Bing, I think it'd be very nice if the home folks listening in all over the world would join in, too.
Oh, it would indeed. Gather around, folks, wherever you may be, and help us sing this eternal hymn.
Adeste fidelis, lady triumphantes, venite, venite, in Bethlehem. Natum videte, regem angelorum, venite adore. Venite adoremus, venite adoremus, Dominus.
And now everybody here and at home in the family key. Thank you very much. Well, it's time, folks, to present our first guest of the evening, a young man with whom I'm associated, shall we say, in a business way, and also socially, too. Mr. Gary Crosby. Would you take a bow, Gary? Thanks, Dad. Gary, John Scott, Trotter and Tom Adair have come up with a flashy new arrangement of that old song, Jingle Bells, with parts for you and me and the rhythm as you got your part there.
Yeah.
That it? Been studying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That'd be a good opener, don't you think, for you and I? That's got to get rolling.
Sure. Say, Dad, by the way, how'd our record of Sam's Song and Simple Melody go?
Oh, it went very big. Haven't you heard? Sold over 200 copies.
Mm, that's wonderful.
Great. Isn't it grand?
Grand.
Knew you'd be happy. Well, how about getting on with Jingle Bells, huh?
I'm ready.
Okay.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Oh, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Dashing through the snow in a one-horse sleigh. O'er the fields we go and we're laughing all the way. Oh, now the bells on bobtail ring and they're making spirits bright. What fun it is to ride and sing a sleighing song tonight.
Ja, 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 jingle.
What a beautiful day for a ride in the sleigh. Gotta get underway.
Ja, 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 jingle.
It's a wintertime picnic, a slick little chicken. You figured it quick.
Ja, 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 jingle.
You're a slap happy fair like a square at a fair. Leave your cares and jingle all the way.
Jingle bell, 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 jingle bell.
Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh.
You got sugar by your side, so jingle.
That fell high stepping mare, taking road by the square, how the fellas will stare.
J-j-j-jingle.
And you speed out of town, zig and zag like a clown over snow-covered ground.
J-j-j-jingle.
You're as smug as a bug in the rug, so you stop for a hug and jingle all the way.
Jingle bell, 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 jingle bell.
Oh, what fun it is to ride in a snow and ice fairyland. Oh, but the trip is grand. You've got a winner. Just go for a spin in a one-horse open sleigh.
Hey.
Singing, Gary. You certainly did great with that perennial Christmas favorite.
Well, I hope so, Ken, and thank you for those kind words. Say, shall we get on now to another perennial Christmas favorite? The Chesterfield gift carton.
Oh, huh? Yes, sir, Bing. Year after year, the bright, gay Chesterfield Christmas carton of 200 milder Chesterfields is not only an ideal Christmas gift, but the best Christmas gift for every smoker.
And the gift every smoker will appreciate. Those who have always smoked Chesterfields and those who will enjoy Chesterfields for the first time. Once they open them, smell them, and smoke them, they'll always be satisfied Chesterfield smokers.
Yes, that's it, Bing. Folks, open a pack of Chesterfields. Give them a smell, then you'll smoke them. Just make your next pack Chesterfields. Then open it and enjoy that milder, mellow Chesterfield aroma. Compared to the brand you've been smoking, and your nose will tell you the difference between Chesterfields and other cigarettes.
Friends, tobaccos that smell milder smoke milder. Tobacco men have been saying that for generations. You smoke them, and you'll find Chesterfields are milder, and they leave no unpleasant aftertaste.
Yes, the country's first and only cigarette taste panel confirmed this fact. Chesterfield is the only cigarette in which members of the panel found no unpleasant aftertaste. So make your next pack Chesterfield and prove for yourself it's the best cigarette for you to smoke.
Chesterfield, Chesterfield always wins first place. Pounder
mild tobacco never leaves an aftertaste. So open up pack, give them a smell, then you'll smoke them. Now, folks, if Ken Carpenter will set the scene, I'd like to move along. I'd like to move you along with us, in fancy, that is, to Christmas Eve, 1950.
Ladies and gentlemen, we now take you to the Crosby home in Beverly Hills, California. It's Christmas Eve, and we find Bing and Gary engaged in a discussion of great importance.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the bells.
Gee, Dad, why do you have to go through this every year?
Never mind. Never mind giving me any beef. Just hand me those red pants.
Dad, why do you insist on playing Santa Claus? What are you trying to prove?
Gary, you're a big boy now. You're grown up. You're sophisticated. You're worldly. We've lost you. But not your little brothers. Why, I wouldn't think of not playing Santa Claus for them. They love it. It's wonderful to see their little faces light up with amazement and happy surprise when I bounce into the room.
They could be acting, you know.
No. I admit I don't convince you anymore, Gary, but your younger brothers are not wise to me yet. And as long as I can make their little eyes dance with glee, I'm going.
Oh, okay. But I still can't understand why parents insist upon stifling their kids' mental development at this time of the year.
Been reading quick, huh?
Yeah.
Don't argue with Papa Santa Claus on Christmas Eve. That's all I can tell you. You're liable to wind up with an empty stocking. Now, come here. Put my beard on me, if you please, huh?
Yes, sir. There you are.
The beard doesn't go up there. Pull it down over my chin.
Trying to make the disguise more convincing.
Wise guy. Well, I'm all set. Oh, wait just a minute. Wait just a minute. Santa has to have a big fat tummy. Hand me those two pillows. I'll stuff them in my coat.
I think you can get by with just one pillow this year.
Have no comments. Nick Cracken, just shove those pillows in my coat.
Yes, sir.
There. That does it. Yes, sir. That's Santa's tummy, all right.
Well, if those pillowcases spring a leak, we're sure going to have a white Christmas around here.
Well, come on, let's not think in terms of disaster. Here's the plan, Gary. Here's what I want you to do. You go out in the living room. You get everyone assembled, see? Then I'll sneak out around the house. I'll come in the living room window with my bag of presents.
Why don't you come down the chimney like you always do?
Last year I got stuck, you know.
That was the biggest laugh you ever got.
Well, I didn't laugh.
Are we going to sing Christmas carols tonight, Dad?
We certainly are, right after we distribute the presents. While everybody's putting their gifts under the tree, I'll sneak out, change my clothes, and we'll go out and we'll sing for our friends. You know, like we do for the friends and the neighbors.
Yeah. I better go in the living room now and soften everybody up for your entrance.
Good, do that, will you? And Gary, when I come in the window, I do wish that you'd work up just a little enthusiasm, a little surprise, huh?
Oh, don't worry. My little eyes will just dance with glee. I may even fall into a faint.
Now, don't... Try to win the Academy. Don't overdo it. Uh-oh. Nick. Oh. Twins.
Hi, Gary.
Hi, Gary.
What are you fellas doing in here?
Oh, just snooping around. Hey, who's the guy in the red suit?
That's Santa Claus, you dumbbell.
Why, I'll bet these are the twins, little Dennis and little Philip.
Hey, he knows us, Phil.
I was just asking Gary if you fellas had been good little boys this year.
You didn't squeal, did you, Simple Melody?
No. As a matter of fact, I was just telling Santa what dear, sweet little children you were.
You can go by what this boy says, Santa. He's very reliable.
Now, come on, fellas. Let's go in the other room. Goodbye, Santa. See you later, I hope.
Oh, yes, 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 indeed.
Goodbye, Santa. Bye, Mr. Claus. It's been a pleasure.
Bye, boys. Bye. It's been nice seeing you.
Gee, Santa Claus is certainly a wonderful man, isn't he?
Yeah, pop his tops.
What do you mean, pop? That was Santa Claus.
Oh, Gary, let's act our age, shall we?
Oh, you guys were wise all the time, huh?
Sure, but if he wants to put on that old hot suit and wear that itchy old beard, it's all right with me. Let him live a little.
Sure, we can stand it if he can. Well, don't say anything in front of Lenny.
Hey, where is Len? Over there in front of the fireplace, waiting for Santa.
Well, he better turn his chair around and face the window. Santa's making a different entrance this year. Hi,
Hi,
Len.
Hi, gang. Gee, I wish Santa Claus would hurry up. I'm a nervous wreck.
Me too.
Me too.
Lynn, we're going out to sing Christmas songs in a few minutes. Where are your stockings?
I took them off and hung them on the mantel.
I'm certainly glad we have only one hillbilly in the family.
Just shake a little more Fitch's tonic into your beautiful blonde wavy hair and don't worry about me.
Now, boys, it's Christmas Eve. We don't want Santa to catch us in the middle of a brawl. Hi, Mom.
Hi, Mom.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, boys. Well, you lads look fairly presentable to greet St. Nick.
You look real beautiful, too, Mom.
Thank you, Lynn. And may I inquire why you aren't wearing stockings?
I hung them on the mantel.
Well, you skip right upstairs and get another pair.
Oh, Mom, I don't need stockings.
Honestly, you're getting to be more like your father every day.
I favor Dad, too. In the vocal department, of course.
You know, Gary, sometimes I wish Sam Song had never been written.
I think Mom seems just as good as Dad any day.
Well, bless every single blonde, beautiful, wavy hair in your head.
Hey, look, there's someone at the window.
Wow, it's Santa Claus.
Hooray.
Gosh, I think I'm going to faint.
Steady, son.
He's opening the window.
Everybody. Now, is this the Crosby house?
Yes, sir.
And are there four nice, big, strong, healthy boys here?
Yes, sir. We're plenty strong.
Well, then get over to the window and drag Sandy in.
Well, I'm having a little trouble here. Looks like I'm stuck.
I'll help you, Sandy.
We'll get you in. Everybody grab a hold and pull.
All together now. Pull.
Easy now. Look, look out. There goes the window, Sandy.
In you come, Santa.
Boy, look at those feathers flying.
Well, so these are the Crosby boys, huh?
That's right, Santa. And all very good boys, too.
Now, let me see here. Which is which? Now, there's Gary. There's Dennis and Philip and this little fella here. Why, you're Lenny Crosby, as I recall.
And you're Bing Crosby, as I recall.
Good night, Irene.
Well, I'll be darned. How'd you know it was me, Lenny?
Your beard went up with the shade.
Oh, look at it dangling up there.
Shall I take it down, Mom?
No, leave it there. Maybe some doves will nest in it.
Man, what a tough time I had getting through that window.
I like it better when you get stuck in the chimney.
I wish you boys would grow up so your poor father wouldn't have to go through this every year.
Oh, I don't mind. I wouldn't miss being Santa for the world. Say, look, we got to get rolling. It's getting late here. We got to go out and sing some Christmas carols, you remember? You boys want to run through your songs first, kind of drop it off a little?
We know those songs, Dad.
Huh?
You'd better rehearse, Gary. I don't want you kids running all over the neighborhood singing off-key.
Yes, ma'am.
You lads gather around the piano now and run through all your numbers. I'll go get the Hoover and vacuum up these feathers while you're rehearsing.
I don't want you singing off-key either.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, I guess you and I lead off, Gary. A song called That Christmas Feeling.
I love that Christmas feeling. It does my heart so much good. Strangers I meet all seem like friends. And the world's just a neighborhood. So here's to the joy of Christmas. And here's to the ones I hold dear. have that merry Christmas feeling all through a happy new year.
I think we got that one in good shape. Now we got a song coming up here from Lindsay. What's your big number this year, Lynn?
I'd like to hitch a ride with Santa Claus.
Well, you go right ahead and hitch that ride.
Care to join me?
Well, thank you very much.
Not at all.
Hang in time. Glad.
I'd like to hitch a ride with Santa Claus.
Well, wouldn't that be something to see?
I'd like to hitch a ride with Santa Claus, dodging the clouds, waving at clouds. I'd crack the whip and keep a watch for weather vanes.
For weather vanes.
I'd help him with his bag and check his Christmas tag.
Or maybe you could handle the reins.
I'd like to hitch a ride with Santa Claus. Wouldn't they be jealous of me? You couldn't say I ran away because after we roam.
Well, he'll drive you home.
He'll drive you home.
And when they see me Christmas morning, what'll they say with a look of delight? There goes the boy that rode with Santa Claus last night.
Thanks. Say, Denny, Phil, you ready with your song?
Yes, sir.
What would the title be, please?
We have a song designed for little children, which is called The Snowman.
Designed for little children. Do I detect a note of irony here, revolt or something?
Well, Dad, we think we're too grown up to sing a song like this.
You do, huh?
Yes, we have girls listening in.
Really? Well, I'm sure your girls will understand that you're both sophisticated, experienced men of the world.
Yes, sir.
On a Christmas Eve, a happy snowman stood and dreamed beside a cottage door. How the children loved their friend the snowman, and the funny fedora he wore.
Funny fedora.
When they said goodnight, they told the snowman that a gift for him was on the tree. So he called himself a lucky snowman, just like one of the family was he. The cottage porch looked beautiful and bright. The holly wreath was turned on for the night. When all at once it caught on fire and fell,
he couldn't knock, he couldn't ring the bell.
He couldn't run for help, he couldn't call. But then he had to save the children after all. He knew he'd melt away, and yet the snowman threw himself across the burning floor.
How the children miss their friend the snowman,
but they'll always remember him for a heart that was brave and the joy that he gave
and the funny fedora he wore.
All together now.
I love that Christmas feeling. It does my heart so much good. Strangers I meet all seem like friends, and the world's just a name.
I'd like to hitch a ride with
crazy, jealous of me.
Here I stand, the one that I hold dear.
He'll drive me home.
Christmas Eve, and that's just about what's going to happen up at our house.
You know, Bing, no matter what your kids think, you make a mighty convincing Papa Santa Claus on the Chesterfield Christmas carton.
Oh, Ken, that cheers me up a great deal.
Well, I'm glad. And on the cover of Quick Magazine, out tomorrow, there's a picture of you and a caption reading, Bing plays Papa Santa.
You know, Ken, I think the Chesterfield people and Quick and everybody, they're very nice to make me Papa Santa Claus this year, but there's just one thing wrong.
What's that?
All my mail is going to the North Pole.
Tragic. How are you going to get your mail back?
I made a deal with Bob Hope.
Oh?
Next time he passes through there, he's going to pick it up for me.
Robert goes to the North Pole quite often, doesn't he?
He goes everywhere quite often. Incidentally, Ken, I'm sending Bob two cartons of Chesterfields for Christmas this year.
Two? What's the idea of that?
Well, one is for him to smoke, and the other is for him to change the tag on and send it back to me.
Oh, that way you're sure of a wonderful gift.
You bet, Ken. And to you folks listening in, Chesterfield's Christmas carton makes a wonderful gift for every smoker. Tuck a carton in the old man's stocking. Lay in a supply for the milkman, the mailman, for just about everyone on your Christmas list.
That's right, friends. This year's Christmas carton of Chesterfield's is the greatest of them all. It says, best of cheer and best of smoking, as only a Chesterfield Christmas carton can say it. It stars Bing Crosby as Papa Santa Claus, and it's complete from Santa's sleigh to the red-nosed reindeer. This year, give Crosby for Christmas. Give cartons of Chesterfield's. Order enough today at your favorite cigarette dealer.
And now a word to the whole Chesterfield family. All of our 1,100,000 retail dealers, our 600,000 wholesale distributors, Merry Christmas to each one of you. I hope we've helped you sell more Chesterfield's throughout the year.
I've got for today. Please have a look at our website, AmericanRadioTheater.org, for more of our podcasts. We put up a new one every month, and it's listed on the front page. For the others, you'll need to click on the podcast button. Hey, thanks for listening, and see you next time.